This recording is brought to you by Whitworth University. To hear additional programs, please visit www.whitworth.edu/podcast.
It's my privilege to introduce Whitworth's 18th president, Dr. Beck A. Taylor. Dr. Taylor earned his undergraduate degree from Baylor University, where he majored in economics and finance, and his master's and PhD in economics from Purdue University. He became Whitworth's president in 2010 after already having had a distinguished career at two leading church-related universities. He had been a highly successful dean at Samford University's Brock School of Business, and before that, an award-winning professor at his undergraduate alma mater, Baylor University. Beck Taylor's scholarship as an economist is a wonderful example of the mind serving the heart. Beck's compassion for economically disadvantaged children has fueled a considerable portion of his research agenda. Many of the more than two dozen studies that he has published in scholarly journals evaluate the effectiveness of various intervention strategies in helping children overcome the effects of poverty. His research has been cited in testimony given to the U.S. Congress, the Federal Trade Commission, and the California State Assembly, and has also been referenced in publications such as the New York Times, the Boston Globe, and the Christian Science Monitor. Beck Taylor's vision for Whitworth University is embodied in Whitworth's 2021 strategic plan, which seeks to elevate Whitworth's standing as one of the finest Christian liberal arts universities in the country. He's a popular speaker and commentator, publishing opinion pieces and frequently appearing on television and radio. Beck Taylor's love of Whitworth University is evident. He wants Whitworth to continue to thrive as it lives out its multiple identities of Reformed, evangelical, and ecumenical. I appreciate Beck's sharp mind, moral courage, and compassion. He lives out the grand paradox that Christian conviction and intellectual curiosity are complementary rather than competing values. Since coming to Whitworth, Beck and his wife Julie and their three children, Zach, Lauren, and Chloe, have woven themselves into the fabric of Whitworth University. As we enter Whitworth's 125th year, please join me in welcoming Whitworth's 18th president, Dr. Beck Taylor.
Well, good morning, Whitworth, and Dr. Simon, thank you for that generous introduction, and thank you, too, for your leadership of our academic programs. And also, how about a round of applause for the Angus Scott Pipe Band this morning, leading us in, led by none other than our own Tom Hamming, a 2010 graduate of Whitworth. Thank you for providing festivity to today's events. Well, the sights and sounds of this particular event do remind us of some very important things in the life of our community. As Carol mentioned, the word convocation means literally our calling together or our shared calling. In light of that shared calling, it's appropriate that I first welcome our students who are here this morning. We are reminded by your participation of Whitworth's central calling, and that is the mind and heart education of the world's next citizens. I want to add a very special welcome to our newest students. So if you are a freshman, a new transfer student, a new continuing studies student, or a new graduate student at Whitworth, would you please stand and let us warmly welcome you this morning? Thank you. We are so pleased that you have joined the Whitworth family. You are now Whitworthians for life. And if you are a returning student to Whitworth, would you please stand and let us welcome you back home? Thank you. I want to also welcome our faculty and staff who are here this morning. Don't they look great this morning in their academic regalia? I want to thank all of you, too, for being faithful to your callings, to teach and to mentor, to create, to research, to write. These are important things, so thank you for the ways in which you serve our community. And representatives from many of Whitworth's external constituencies are also here this morning, responding to their individual callings to serve our community. They consist of alumni, parents, friends, donors, auxiliary members, Crimson Club boosters, pastors, community members, and public servants. These are people who give life to this university through their steadfast prayers, significant leadership, volunteer service, and generous financial giving. So thank you for being here as well. And finally, our university's Board of Trustees serves a very, very important calling in the life of this community, providing wise leadership and ultimately safeguarding Whitworth's distinctive mission by generously offering their time, their wisdom, and their financial resources. This morning, Trustees Debbie Cazzetto, Ken Roberts, John Sowers, and Stu Stiles are here representing all of their trustee colleagues. Trustees, please stand and allow us to thank you and our entire board for your service. Thank you. New beginnings. Life is full of them. It's said that the only constant in life is change. Some of us are wary of change, perhaps for good reasons. Change threatens the status quo, a status quo perhaps that we're invested in, blood, sweat, and tears. A meticulously constructed reality that's comfortable and predictable. Perhaps the status quo embodies decisions, values, and principles that we think are important. And we fear that any disruption to that state of the world and the new reality it brings might not embody those same ideals. Because with every new beginning, well, there's usually also an ending. And those endings, whether real or perceived, can be unsettling and disorienting. Others of us, on the other hand, embrace change. We thrive when circumstances and situations, whether invited or unanticipated, are dynamic and present opportunities to reinvent, to adjust, or to discover new things. Research suggests that this group of people, those who thrive with change or seek it out, is a decidedly smaller group than the group of people who generally see change as a threat. Well, I think we all know that's probably an oversimplification. No matter to which group each of us belongs, I think it is true that for most of us, we can think of times in our lives when change seemed fun and exhilarating, and we liked it. Maybe when we got a new car, or the birth of a sibling, or a son or daughter, or a new job, or going off to college. And we can think of times when change presented real challenges and hardship, the loss of a loved one, unemployment, a broken relationship. I was reminded just recently by a friend that change can be hard even when we accept it. I love the academic life because it's full of new beginnings and endings. My favorite day of the year is when students arrive to campus. And my second favorite day of the year is when they leave in May, in that order. Both of these days, for me, mark the beginning of an exciting time of the year. The academic calendar is full of fresh starts. For students, each new semester brings with it an unblemished grade report, new classes, new relationships with professors and peers, maybe a new major, and a sense that there's nothing holding you back. We staff and faculty also draw great encouragement from the new starts that the beginning of the academic year brings. We who are drawn to this profession are usually known for our idealism around teaching, that sacred opportunity to steward students through the process of learning. So each of us wants to be a master teacher, and new starts provide both the opportunity and the compulsion to change up our classes or to improve upon our lectures, to find new applications or to learn new ways to teach. And as someone who belongs to the group of people who often seeks out change, When I was in the classroom regularly, I changed textbooks a lot, both because I was never quite satisfied with the text that I was using, but also because it gave me that great opportunity to reprep my class, and I love that stuff. Staff members, you too, as you work to serve our campus and students, you also use the academic calendar to initiate new practices and new ideas and new ways of thinking. In his book titled The Art of Teaching, Jay Perini captures these sentiments by writing this: "In the academy, time is oddly and infinitely retrievable. The slate is, in theory, wiped clean each and every September. And one is given a fresh packet of crayons and a fresh notebook. While feelings of guilt over past failures may linger, one can redeem them. That's what beginnings are for. For you new students, there is perhaps no bigger transition, no more significant new beginning in your life to this point than the one that you're experiencing right now. If there is an official beginning to adulthood, it can most certainly be marked by going off to college. For most, you have left home and the comforts there." I recently received a phone call from my freshman son, Zach, who's off away at college for the first time. And during that first phone call, I was expecting him to tell me how much he missed me and his mother and his siblings, but he reflected upon how much he simply missed going to the cupboard and finding snacks. Parents and family members are no longer setting curfews or watching over all of your decisions, and that's exciting. But newfound freedom, independence, and responsibility can also be disorienting. And there are next chapters for institutions, too. Sometimes the opportunity for a place like Whitworth to think about new things is when we have the opportunities to celebrate important milestones. We did this together 4 years ago when I arrived to this post. And the result was a bold and ambitious plan that both envisions and provides some ways of achieving the goals we have for ourselves during this exciting decade. But celebration isn't always the impetus for this kind of new thinking. Just last year, as we fell short of our budget goals, the Whitworth community had the opportunity to think anew about some of the things we're doing, and we made some tough decisions to change, not because those changes were fun or welcomed, but because they provided the best opportunities for our community to flourish into the future. Today, we stand ready to celebrate another important milestone in the life of this great institution as we celebrate the 125th anniversary of Whitworth's founding. What does the next chapter for Whitworth look like? I think our understandings about how to steward new opportunities and new chapters in our lives and in the lives of the institutions we serve can and should be informed by the biblical narrative. For in it, we see the revelation of God to us in ways that reveal God's nature and character. And so often, it seems, God's revelation of himself comes to us in stories of new beginnings, of new chapters. This is certainly the case in the story that Ian read this morning. This new chapter in the life of Israel and in Joshua's life marks a profound milestone through which we see interwoven a common narrative found throughout Scripture. A story, like many stories found in the Bible, marked by calling and recreation, revelation, transformation, renewal, and redemption. The story we read at the beginning of the book of Joshua tells us of the end of one calling and the beginning of another, both for the protagonist, Joshua, and for the nation of Israel. One epic is ending, and another is beginning. The revered patriarch Moses, the man who led the Israelites out of Egypt and stewarded his flock through the wilderness, well, he's now dead. The mantle of leadership has passed to Joshua, Moses' understudy for these years. This marks a profound change, a new chapter in Joshua's life, and he's anointed to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River into their new land. And for the nation of Israel. They've lost their beloved leader, Moses, and now they must follow a new leader into unknown territory where they will face uncertain challenges. A new chapter is being written for Joshua and for God's people. This morning, I want to reflect upon three insights we can take from the story of Joshua and the nation of Israel at this very important moment in history and apply them to the new chapters being written right now for all of you and for this institution we love. The first lesson we can draw from the story of Joshua is that our past is an important part of our future. But what got us here won't necessarily get us there. For Joshua, his role changed immediately upon Moses' death from loyal follower to the nation's leader. The skill set needed to faithfully carry out the plans of a leader and the skill set needed to craft those plans as a leader can be very different. The context of Joshua's leadership for the nation of Israel was very different than the context of leadership for Moses. In Moses, the Israelites had a spiritual leader, someone who could liberate them and guide them as they discovered their identity as God's chosen people. In Joshua, Israel needed not just a spiritual leader, but also a military one. And I suspect that the people's clothes weren't even dry after crossing through the Jordan River when they encountered the heavily fortified city of Jericho. In addition to Joshua's changing identity as a leader, the nation of Israel was also taking on a new identity. The next chapter in that grand narrative would require the identity of the nation to turn from being wandering nomads to military conquerors. God required the Israelites' active participation in taking their new home. It wouldn't just be handed to them. But as these exciting and daunting new chapters were being written for Joshua and Israel, the past was important in forming the future they were helping to write. Joshua was already a formidable military man, having fought off the Amalekites in Exodus 17 and having been a faithful spy for Moses in the land of Canaan, that story described in the book of Numbers. That identity and those experiences, not to mention the spiritual mentorship that Moses must have provided to Joshua, helped to shape Joshua into the successful leader he became. And for the nation of Israel, the people's identities as sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their shared exile in Egypt, not to mention the 40-year desert experience, must have helped to forge the solidarity the nation would need to follow a new leader and to rise victorious into battles ahead. But just as those experiences were important in helping shape Joshua and the Israelites, they weren't all that was needed to be faithful to the new callings that they were accepting. The past is almost never sufficient for the future. New reservoirs of strength, new skills and aptitudes, and even recreated identities were required to be successful. What got the nation of Israel to the banks of the Jordan wasn't going to be sufficient if they were to conquer the land that was before them. I think about you new students this morning. You are so impressive. You've accomplished so much already in your young lives. So many of you came to Whitworth having achieved enormous success, whether in academics, in service, in athletics, in your social relationships. Some of you have shown remarkable resilience and resolve, coming to Whitworth against all odds. Those experiences are sacred. They have formed who you are today. At Whitworth, your story is important. We want to hear it. We want to learn from it. No one has lived your life, and no one can teach us the lessons that you can. But what got you to traditiation won't get you to graduation. God is still forming you. You are still but an empty vessel waiting to be filled. You will need to learn new things, experience new triumphs, and suffer through hardship and failures to become the person that God has in store. The next few years will be exciting and life-giving, but they will be hard, and at times they will be full of trouble. But as Leonard Oakland reminded you, freshmen, last Saturday night, it is in life's troubles that we find God's amazing grace. And what for Whitworth? As we celebrate that same grace given so generously these last 125 years, our past is also sacred. How can we tell the story of Whitworth without telling the stories of so many who have entered into these hallowed halls, also hoping to shape the lives of students for vocation, service, and ministry? I must admit that I can grow impatient and frustrated when I allow myself to think we don't have enough to do what we want to do as a learning community. I think we don't have enough money, or I think that we don't have the right facilities or enough new programs. But I'm quickly sobered when I read about the Whitworth of the past, the Whitworth that seemed to have so little by today's standards. That Whitworth persisted. Indeed, it flourished. There are many here this morning who remember that Whitworth. God, in His grace and abundance, provided just what Whitworth needed to fulfill its mission. God was faithful. We can draw great strength from remembering that. We are the strong institution we are today because of our storied past, the stories of both prosperity and trouble. We honor that. But what got Whitworth to its 125th anniversary celebration is likely not sufficient to see it into the coming decades. The headwinds in higher education have never been stiffer. The antagonists who argue that a liberal arts education is a quaint vestige of a bygone era, well, their arguments have never been sharper. And the chorus of voices who would marginalize Christ-centered colleges and universities has never been louder. Not to mention the disruptive innovations in our industry, like technology and distance and online learning and competency-based credentialing, that seem to pull at the very fabric of our values-based, relational, and experiential models of education. As I've said before, these forces are more likely evolutionary than revolutionary. But Whitworth must equip itself for a different future and embrace change if we are to remain a viable and relevant university. We mustn't be complacent, and we must think with some urgency about these forces. More entrepreneurialism and less parochialism would serve us and our students well. But we mustn't lose our core convictions in the process. The second insight I want to reflect upon this morning is that when we are thrown into the chaos and the uncertainty that change and new chapters in our lives bring, God is faithful to keep His promises. For Joshua and the Israelites, as they turned the script, as they found themselves in a new chapter of history, there must have been an abundant realization that they were claiming the promises given to their forefathers, that they were living out a reality that God had set into motion many, many generations earlier, indeed before the beginning of time. Despite the Israelites' unfaithfulness, despite their propensity to forget and to rebel, God worked through grace to fulfill the promises He had given, both to Joshua and to the nation of Israel. That acknowledgement of God's faithfulness to us is extremely important as we enter new territory or experience changes in our lives that are disruptive and sometimes unwelcomed. God's faithfulness must have been on Joshua's mind, for example, as a trained military man, as he instructed his armies to march in circles and blow trumpets rather than to fight to conquer Jericho. Did Joshua have doubts? I bet he did. But I'm also firmly convinced that he knew he was serving a God of promises. New students, staff, and faculty, like the Israelites, you are entering into a foreign land. For you international students, this isn't just a metaphor. For all of you, Whitworth is new. It has strange customs. Falling pine cones, frisbees, and pirates. Arr! a language all of its own, the narrow ridge, mind and heart, vocation, the big three, French dip Fridays. And at times, you'll feel like a stranger. You'll feel like you don't belong here. But God is faithful. He has called you here to this place at this time. God did not call you here to abandon you. God called you here because He will meet you here. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future filled with hope. And if God has a plan for us, God's people, He surely has a plan for Whitworth. For Whitworth is nothing more than the faithful who are gathered to live out our divine callings here. As we celebrate this milestone in Whitworth's history, we celebrate God's faithfulness to us. That gives us hope as we face an uncertain future. For I firmly believe that although we are an imperfect institution, filled with imperfect people, our mission to equip graduates to honor God, to follow Christ, and to serve humanity is a purpose that gives God great joy. And if we are faithful to that mission, then I believe God will be faithful to those of us who carry that mission. And God will honor this grand experiment of mind and heart. God fulfills His promises through the faithful. Oh God, may we be faithful. Finally, as we think about how God is preparing us for new things for our next chapters, God gives us a command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May that serve as our benediction this morning. As we face change, as we experience new beginnings, as we write new chapters in our own lives and in the life of this institution we love, let us be strong and courageous, knowing that strength and courage are nothing that we can muster on our own, but that they are gifts of God, gifts tied to God's promise to be with us wherever we go, no matter the circumstances, no matter the troubles, no matter the disorientation, and amidst the great excitement that new chapters can create. Students, as you write new chapters in your lives, may you be encouraged and comforted, knowing that your past is something that God is using even now to shape your future, even if He's providing you with new opportunities for growth and renewal. And that ultimately, the same faithful God who called you here to Whitworth will sustain you. Have strength. Have courage. And for Whitworth University, may it also be faithful as its people, all of us, draw strength and courage from the God that gives life to our mission of Christ-centered higher education. May God bless this institution for the next 125 years or until Christ comes again, as we are faithful to our Savior and our Lord. Have a wonderful year. Be strong and courageous. Thank you.